Elmore Leonard's first novel was published in 1953. It was titled The Bounty Hunters, and it was a Western, as were many of his subsequent novels, with titles like Last Stand at Saber River and Ombre. 51 years later, and we have Mr. Leonard's 38th novel. It's entitled Mr. Paradise, a story about lowlives, detectives, and lingerie models set in Detroit. Mr. Leonard joins us now from member station WDET in Detroit. Thank you for being with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Some time ago, you switched from writing Westerns to writing contemporary mysteries, although I think that's probably far too restrictive a category to put you in. How would you describe your work?
No, I don't write mysteries. I've never cared too much for reading mysteries, for that matter. To me, the main action is off stage in the mystery. I do write crime novels. I can't avoid that. The perpetrator is an interesting character, and let's see more of him rather than have him appear in the last act.
What makes your writing so appealing, I think, for so many people is the ear that you have for dialogue, for how people speak. And, you know, as a radio guy, that's what we all aspire to write for the ear. How do you manage to do that? How do you capture that dialogue?
I think it's because I've always liked dialogue. I mean, from the very beginning, my purpose was to write in scenes two characters talking about what might happen and two characters talking about what did happen, and let it proceed that way, to first of all establish the characters, as many as possible in the first 100 pages, and audition them. Let's see if they can talk. If they can't talk, they're liable to slip from view or get shot early on. If I have several bad guys and I only want to end up with one of them, then I have to decide which one I want in the end. And it's normally the one who is the most interesting talker.
Mm.
But it was back in Steinbeck's book, Sweet Thursday, where he had a prologue, a character from Cannery Row talking about the fact that he didn't like the author telling him what people looked like. He said, I want to find out what they look like from the way they talk and what they do. I don't want the author sticking his nose in, telling me things I don't need. And I read that, I think it was in about 1954, and I thought, oh, good. I don't have to make a big production of describing people. I can just give it enough. Also, being a student of Ernest Hemingway, I mean, I studied everything that he wrote very, very closely during the 50s, and he didn't spend a lot of time describing people. That's the way I came out of.
I read a piece you wrote about the rules of writing. The most important rule, you said, if it sounds like writing, I rewrite it.
If it sounds like the constructions that we were taught in school, so obviously someone writing it, because I don't want the reader to be distracted by the words. I want the words to belong to the characters. When I begin a scene, I decide what the purpose of the scene is and from whose point of view it is told, but still anything can happen, and I let it happen. That's the fun of writing a book. And I think I pay attention to when people are talking. I listen.
I was wondering, do you hang out in bars or airport lounges?
I haven't had a drink in 27 years, so hanging out is not what I do. I don't know where I get the dialogue. I imagine the characters. I imagine their education level. And maybe I'll get something from a documentary on prison life.
I'm wondering if you might read us a bit from Mr. Paradise.
See what you think of this. This is Lloyd. Lloyd is the houseman of Mr. Paradise, who was murdered. And visiting him is a police woman, homicide detective named Jackie Michaels. Lloyd, wearing a starched white dress shirt hanging out of his pants, opened the front door and stood facing Jackie Michaels in her winter coat, her patterned red scarf, her hair combed out. No dreads this morning. Jackie looking at peace. Now what you want? Her gaze came up from the square of cardboard taped over the broken pane of glass to Lloyd. You ever going to get that fixed? I had to find out who's paying for it, Lloyd said. He stared at Jackie another few moments. I don't have to let you in, do I? It's still considered a crime scene, Jackie said. I can come in if I want, but I'm leaving it up to you. You have a different tone of voice this morning, Lloyd said. Come on in, and let's see if it works on me. He brought Jackie through the dining room and pantry to the kitchen, bigger than her living room, with a range made for a restaurant, every size pan hanging above the work table. Lloyd smiled at her, showing gold in his teeth. You know how old I am. You've been through my jacket a few times, haven't you? You wondering, could this 71-year-old geezer play any part in this? I bet you think you know all about me, my scores, the falls I took. I'll tell you something, Lloyd said. I was only 60. You'd have smelled my lust before we're through the dining room. Jackie said, takes a little longer now. So there they are.
Thanks. Would you tell us a little bit about how you work and what's the routine? You get up at 6 in the morning and start writing, or how does that
go? No, I don't. When I had a job, when I worked for an advertising agency, I was writing Chevrolet ads. I used to get up at 5 through most of the 50s, and I would write from 5 to 7, and I was able at that time to do a page an hour because I didn't know any better. Now I write from 10 in the morning until 6 in the evening, and that's 8 hours. And if I can get 4 or 5 pages, that is a very good day.
Wow, that's a lot of writing.
We'll say it's 1,000 to 1,250 words. I'll write a book in 5 or 6 months. And then I may think of the next one before I finish the book I'm writing. And if I do, even though I don't know how the book I'm writing is going to end, I know that it's in hand. I know that it's going to work, that there is an ending that I'm going to think of. Because there are always several different ways to end a book. If I begin thinking about the ending, by page 300 in my manuscript, and I know that my manuscript is going to run 350, 360 pages, then I begin preparing for the end. And I may have to go back and add something. Enough has happened in the first 100 pages. There are enough little loose ends hanging around that I'll have ways to end it that will please me.
You make it all sound so easy, though. It can't be
easy. It isn't easy, but it's satisfying. It's got to be fun. It's why 10 years ago I quit writing screenplays, because that's work, especially adapting your own book, because all the enthusiasm went into the book, and now you're stuck with putting it together in a script that is no longer than 120 pages, and you're so confined by the format, you just don't feel that you can swing with it at all.
I hate to even ask this, but after doing this for more than 50 years now, any thoughts of slowing down?
I've slowed down some, simply because I don't want to repeat myself, and it gets harder in that respect. And also trying to make it better. I'm still trying to make it better, more interesting. That's part of it. That will slow you down, but I still have the desire. And as long as I have the desire, I'm so thankful that I do, I'm going to continue writing.
Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Omar Leonard's 38th novel is entitled Mr. Paradise. By the way, The Big Bounce, an earlier Leonard novel, is the basis for the movie Out by the same name. For more on Elmore Leonard, visit our website at npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Brian Naylor.